Father, we are grateful. Grateful that indeed you and you alone are God. We're grateful that you in Jesus have rescued us. We pray this morning for our PNC. May you give them patience and wisdom. May you speak clearly to them. And may they know that you walk with them and that you are guiding their steps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, who likes to wait? Got any people that go, that's my jam. I love to wait. Carver, did you raise your hand? No. But nobody likes to wait. Sarah Gray will tell you I don't like to wait. I do most of the Costco and the grocery shopping in our house. And when we go in together, I'll say, no, wait a minute. We got to look and see who's working what register. Because there's no line there, but it will take you longer to get through that line than it will if you go to this one, even though it's got a line. Because I don't like to wait. Disney has monetized waiting, right? If you go, you can pay extra so you don't have to wait as long because nobody likes to wait. I think we're all waiting to see if Taylor Swift is going to show up to the Chiefs game tonight. I mean, I know I've put actually zero thought into that. Yeah. Because I don't care, really. But waiting is one of these things that seems inherent in life, but none of us enjoy. But here's the thing, waiting is part of being God's people. It always has been. God's people have always been waiting. We go back, Abraham and Sarah waited for heirs. And God provided. Before they were known as God's people, the people who came to be known as Israel waited in slavery in Egypt to be rescued. And then they were rescued and they waited in the desert for 40 years for God to give them the promised land. And then when they got to the promised land, they waited generations for the Messiah to come. And then the Messiah came, and there was this period of waiting where people were trying to figure out what exactly is this Messiah about and what's he going to do. And then Jesus rose from the dead, and we are the people of Jesus today, and we're still waiting for him to return. God's people are waiting. People. And it wasn't any easier thousands of years ago than it is today. In the calamities of life, we often find ourselves saying to God, hurry up. Have you forgotten? The psalmist pours out his heart to God in the 27th psalm, and we find these words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it's my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. But listen to how the psalmist ends in verses 13 and 14. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalmist says, imagine the most harrowing place you could find yourself in human life. Seek God's face, call out to Him with confidence, knowing that God will meet you and be with you in the land of the living in a sweetness of life. But wait. Trust and wait. It's not exactly the answer we want, right? Because for us in our day and time, we kind of have this idea that if we work hard enough and we work smart enough, we can get it done, and we can get it done quick, right? If I work hard, if I work smart, we'll knock this out. We don't need to wait, because nobody likes to wait. Waiting is often viewed, I think, as a test. I think COVID, anybody remember COVID? It was this thing, apparently. And I heard people all throughout COVID going, this is a test. This is a test. Albert Tate, who's a pastor in Monrovia, California, said as things were beginning to start to try and get back to normal, he had lunch with a friend. And the friend said, you know, I keep hearing people say COVID was a test, but what if it was the lesson? What if COVID was the lesson and this life post-COVID is actually the test? What if it's the lesson? What if waiting, that thing none of us want to do, is actually the lesson? John Ortberg wrote this: biblically, waiting is not just something we have to do until we get what we want. Waiting is part of the process of becoming what God wants us to be. What if waiting is actually the lesson of God teaching us of who He wants us to be? That turns waiting on its ear, doesn't it? That in the waiting, in the uncertainty, in the thing that irritates us and frustrates us, that might just be when God's trying to teach us how to be His people. That might be when God's shining the light on how He wants us to live, not only as an individual, but as a body, as a church. The PNC talked about the hard and faithful work they're doing, and I am so grateful for each and every one of them. And they're learning to wait on God. It would have been easy for them to go, oh, we got a resume, that looks like a live one, let's call them. But they're committed to waiting. They're committing to say to God, what do you want to teach us in this lesson? So that we can live into who God wants us to be in this community, in this world. And this church has done that faithfully for over 170 years. And there have been times of uncertainty, and there have been times before when PNCs were at work, and there have been times when the congregation that says, come on, work hard and work smart, and let's knock this thing out, because that's kind of who we are, right? Nobody likes to wait, but God does some of his most miraculous work, some of his most transforming work in us when we wait, when we learn those lessons of what it means to wait. Elizabeth Elliot, with great wisdom, wrote these words. Waiting on God requires the willingness to bear uncertainty, to carry within oneself the unanswered question, lifting the heart to God about it whenever it intrudes upon one's thoughts. It requires the willingness to bear uncertainty, to carry within oneself the unanswered question. You like unanswered questions? Man, we don't like it, right, in general. But you should have, if you're young enough, lived before Google. Oh, man. You couldn't just pull out your phone, go to Google, type in the question, and hit go, and get 4 billion responses. If you had this question that you longed to have answered, you had to do a little thing called research. Some families had world books. Anybody have, remember world book encyclopedias? Oh yeah, see some hands going up. Yeah, shelves of those bad boys, right? Out of date as soon as they were published, right? And if you didn't have world book, or it wasn't in the world book, then you had to go to the library and use this thing called a card catalog to try and find that. And Google's much easier, trust me. Maybe not as accurate sometimes, but much easier. At least you get an answer to your uncertain question. Might not be right, but you get it, right? Uncertainty is something we don't like to live with. We're not comfortable with that rattling around inside of us. But as Elizabeth Elliot points out, it's in the waiting that we learn to deal with the uncertainty. And if we're to be truly faithful people whose faith has an impact on our culture, sometimes it's best to go to some of those great questions, you know. I don't know. That's something God still helping me understand, rather than coming at some glib answer. So we wait, and we deal with uncertainty, and when it raises up in us, we get antsy, and we get nervous, and sometimes we don't act our best, because that's sin in our lives. But just maybe as we wait, God's teaching us lessons. Just maybe as we wait, God's calling us to something deeper. Just maybe God's saying, come to me. Remember the psalmist saying, Father, I want to seek your face. I want to seek your face. As we wait for the next person that God has already chosen to be the senior pastor of this church, maybe we should pray, God, let me seek your face first. Let me draw near to you and seek your face. So that when the time is right and you speak, We know your voice. You know, another one of those things that younger people aren't familiar with is before the days of caller ID. Anybody remember that? And the phone rang? You kind of had to answer it to figure out who it was. That was really not a good plan, right? Now my phone rings, I look at it, it says Sarah Gray calling. But I don't really need to know that Sarah, that's who it is. Because when I say, hey, and she says, hey, I know who it is, right? Because we spend a lot of time together. So I kind of know her voice, right? When she says, hey, I go, hey. Now, I confession is something we should all do. I will confess that there are some times when I say, hey, and she'll say, do you have any cash? I'll say, who is this? I think you have the wrong number. But I know Sarah Gray's voice. I know my family's voice. I know the people that I spend time with that I know on a deeper level just by the sound of their voice. Maybe in our waiting, our prayer needs to be not, hey, God, hurry up, but God, allow me to draw closer to you. Allow me to draw closer to you so that I might know you in a more deep way and I might come to recognize your voice when you speak. And I trust in your word that you will show me the sweetness of life here in the land of the living. We're going to talk a lot in the coming weeks and months about listening expectantly. Because we believe that's one of the things that God calls us to do. And as a church, we should be listening expectantly for God to speak. And in order to do that, we need to draw closer to Him so that we know His voice, His still, small voice. There's something else that I think we forget about in the waiting. Very often we treat waiting like, well, I guess we just got to sit here and wait. That's not how God works in the waiting. He calls us to draw closer to Him, to draw near to Him. But God also calls us to be what we already are and who we already are. And He has a compelling picture of that in the book of Acts, the second chapter. It's a picture of the early church, those first believers who came together as followers of Jesus to be the gathering, to be the church. Listen to how Luke describes those early believers and their life together. This is from Acts 2. Beginning at verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. That's a picture of the church. That's a picture of what God calls His people to be, senior pastor or not. God calls us to be those people. To meet together, to study together, to sing together, to worship together, to eat together, to care for one another, to care for the world around us. That's the church, and that's who God calls us to be today and tomorrow and the day after. And thanks be to God, this is a church that has done that for 170 some odd years. And will continue to do that well into the future. So as we wait, as uncertainty will rear its head, may we stop and may we say, Father, draw me close to you. Allow me to see your face. Allow me to learn your voice. And remind me of your promise that I will taste the sweetness of life here in the land of the living. And be the church. Be those people that transformed the world some 2,000 years ago. Because that power is still through the power of the Holy Spirit in and among us. And there's a world still needing to be transformed. May we be the church. May we trust. May we listen. May we draw close. May we be God's people in the waiting. And may we look forward to the sweetness of life, not only today, but every day into the future, because he is a God who cares for his people in the land of the living. One thing we're going to do in the coming days and months is pray together every time we worship a prayer of trust. It's a prayer that's responsive. It's going to appear on the screens. Would you join me as we pray this prayer of trust and come to do as the early church did and as Jesus commanded us, to share a meal at the Lord's table and remember his goodness. Lord, in the waiting, we trust you. In the listening, we trust you. In uncertainty, we trust you. In sorrow, we trust you. In joy, we trust you. Empower us to embody your love right here, right now, in our families, our schools, our work, our church, our community, and beyond. Lord, in everything, we trust you. Lord, may it be so. We thank you that you're a God of waiting people. And in that waiting, you are faithful. In that waiting, we find your mercy and your grace. And in that waiting, you draw us to you so that we may come to know you on a deeper level. Father, draw us close. Allow us to learn your voice. And Father, as we come here to this table, may you do the miraculous in us. May you remind us of our great worth in your eyes. And the price that Jesus paid, not out of our own goodness, but because of his great love for us, that we can come here and be reminded of his sacrifice and your love and be empowered to be your faithful, waiting people in this time and in this place. Amen.